Well, when Paul called the first time and said he was sick, I thought, oh my, you know, what should I do? Should I get something ready? Or, and I thought, well, you know, he might be okay by tomorrow morning. And then last night, called again, and I knew I was in trouble. No. The Lord did lay this on my heart, so it was funny because this past week I was going through some stuff, and I found a, although last night I couldn't find it, so I guess I wasn't supposed to use it because he gave me another scripture. But I had gone through on a, I guess I must have taught about wisdom sometime, a note card, one of the, and I like those big ones, the 5x7s, because you can get a lot of stuff on there. But I had, it was wisdom. And I had looked up all the scripture about wisdom. And then our Sunday school lesson was about Solomon. And then when he said about, you know, could I do this? And I said, well, you know what? We'll just do Solomon and we'll do wisdom. It was like it clicked, you know, okay. So not that I'm a wise person standing here, because I'm in need, just like the rest of you, of the wisdom of God. But, you know, what's interesting, I'll share with you. Now, I bet I didn't mark it, so it'll make me look for it while I'm standing up here. But in James, where it says about if any of you lack wisdom, you know, to ask of God, and that he would give us that wisdom. So I'm just paraphrasing there. But when I joined this church, Joe Quesenberry was the preacher, the pastor, and when he would take anybody in, he would always give a scripture to that person. And he would write it in his own little handwriting on a little file card, the small ones, the 3x5s. And he gave me that scripture. That was my scripture. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask it of the Father. So that's where we get our wisdom. So I'm just trusting the Lord to guide me today. And I'll just talk a little bit about, I'm not going to read all that scripture, but, you know, in the Old Testament, when we see Solomon, of course, we think of wisdom. And you think, you know, he was a new king, and he was very young. And when I asked the kids in Sunday school, I said, well, what would you ask for? You know, if God said to you, you can have whatever you want. And, of course, they asked for, you know, video games and stuff, you know. And they had some different ideas. But I said, you know, he was a young man. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for power. He could have asked for all of that. But he humbly asked for wisdom so he could understand how to rule the people. Now that, to me, I think he must have had a pretty wise heart to start with. You know, God knew he was a wise young man to start with. Yeah, he was a wise guy, okay. But, so, I'm going to read from Proverbs, which we know that he wrote many of the Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 3, and I don't know if we'll go through all of it. We may not. I know you guys don't have any place to go today, so we'll just keep you here in the warm. Paul said, I knew I couldn't stand up there today and talk for 40 minutes, and I said, I'm thinking, 40 minutes? I don't know if I could talk for 40 minutes. And you're all going, please, Lord. Okay. We're going to read parts of this, and we'll talk about it as we go. This is some of the most beautiful scripture, I think, giving us a lot of wisdom, but yet there are a lot of promises, you know, if we keep the wisdom of God. So I'm just going to start in the very beginning, and let me pray. Well, maybe I should pray. No, I'll pray before I read. Sometimes people pray after. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would bless the reading of this word and bless our understanding to get the message that you would like to give us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Starts off with a promise. Don't forget the law, and your heart will keep my commandments. The length of days. He's going to lengthen our days on this earth. And he'll give us peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." I want to stop right there because that's a very popular portion of Scripture, but it's really very, very powerful. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." You know, if we go through life and only do what we think should be done without his guidance and direction, we're really not going anywhere. Because without God in our life, we really don't have a purpose. And you can have an earthly purpose, but you need to have that relationship with God. That's why we're here. And it says, "Lean not to your own understanding." And that's where we need to pray for God's understanding. Whether it be situations in our life, because a lot of things come our way and we think, "Why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this to happen?" And some people get very bitter at God when they go through rough times. But there are reasons for everything that happens. And I don't claim to understand all the things that happen and all of the situations that come our way. But you know, when you get through a rough time, or you get through, whether it's an illness or whether it's a financial bind or whatever it is, and you look back, there are usually lessons to be learned. Someone was telling me this week that they had some family members who needed money, and they were really asking them for money. And this person had invested money, and they can't get to it for like 10 years. And they were upset. And I said, "Well, do you have enough money to live on?" And they said, "Yes, I have enough money to live on." I said, "Well, you know, God could be protecting you from squandering that money. Because if you could get to that money, you would take it out and probably give it to your family members, and it would be gone. But it's like God is protecting this person by having that money tied up in this fund." And it sounds like a real mundane little thing. But you know, God is concerned with our finances. He's concerned with every part of our life. And it's hard to understand how he can do that. But you know that song, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." If he's watching that little sparrow fall from the tree, you know he's watching over us. And like I say, we can't comprehend the wisdom of God, and we can't comprehend the knowledge of God, because he is all-knowing. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So we can't hide it from him. And when we think we're hiding from him, we're not, because he sees our heart. So, bless you. Don't get sick, okay? We don't need anybody else sick. So, we don't want to be wise in our own conceits. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes, because we all think we know what should be done. And you all have heard people who always have an answer for everything. And that's all well and good if they really know, but do they really know? Some people are convinced they do, but you have to try them out. Okay, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." That's picking up in 7. "It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Now, I'm going to stop there because, you know, a lot of people struggle, but then they come to the Lord and they start tithing their money. And I know Paul doesn't like to teach on, preach about tithing and all of those things. But when God says he will honor you, he will. If we give him, okay, he gives you $1, you give him 10 cents. That doesn't sound like much, does it? But when you give him 10% of a larger amount, he will bless your life. And 10%, you know, is really a very small part. When you figure, you get 90% to keep, right? So God will honor you. And I know a lot of people struggle. And it says right here, "If you honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so will your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So, If we put our trust in the Lord, we bring him the honor of tithing to him, he will bless you financially. And sometimes it's hard to get started because you think, well, I don't have much left. But that doesn't matter. God sees your heart and he will bless you. Number 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So we'll stop there. Now you've all heard that scripture. And it's true. If we love children, we'll correct them. If you let them go and do whatever they want to do, they're not going to turn out very good. They're going to be disrespectful. They're not going to be able to follow rules. They're not going to be able to obey the law. It's going to be very hard for them because nobody's ever said no. So we're not doing them any favor by spoiling them. But God does that to us. And sometimes we do things and God has to punish us in some way. And it's not even in some way that we may be even aware of, you know. We may, well, like I say, we'll say, well, why is this happening to me? Not everything is, that comes your way that's negative you've earned, but some things are. You know, people who have abused their bodies or have done drugs or done things, people are paying prices for those things because of what they've done to themselves. So, God is just. Happy is the man, and this is verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of gold, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. Now, as I was reading that, you know, they're referring to wisdom as her and she. So I'm not saying, guys, that women are more wise than men. But I think that's interesting. I never really took note to that till I was reading this last night. Because it's saying, she is more precious than rubies. Talking about wisdom. Giving it a feminine cast. So, you can still have wisdom too, though. We saw that in Solomon. 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up. And clouds drop down the dew. Now, going into that, talking about creation, I don't think anybody here can say that God was not wise in his creation and how he did separate the heavens from the earth and how he set us here and how he put us here. You know, people believe that on other planets there may be life and there may be people there and living and all of that. Whether or not they are, God put us here. And I guess that would be wonderful if there are other planets that have people living there. You know, you have all the aliens and the stories about them invading the Earth and all that good stuff from science fiction. But we know what we know because we're here. And God in all of his wisdom. It says here that he says, by his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. So, you know, he gave us rain. He gave us dew. He gave us water to drink. He gave us the land. He gave us all these things. So when God in his wisdom, you know, did all these things, he is telling us that we can also seek that wisdom. Not that we're going to create the world. Not that we're going to do the great and mighty things he does. Although he did tell us that in the New Testament, we could do greater wonders than Jesus did in his day. And that is hard to believe too, because Jesus did some wonderful things. So it says, my son, let them not depart, this is 21, from your eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, and you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor the trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So he's going to protect us. He's going to keep us from the boiling water or the steam coming on our chair. He will protect us. And he will guide us. But we have to be in our hearts. We have to keep him first. We have to seek him. And I like that little, I even bought Christmas cards one year. It said, wise men still seek him. I like that because they do. We cannot be wise in our own thinking. I know some people who are very, very intelligent. A lot of very intelligent people turn their backs on God because they don't think they need him. And I won't name any names, but there's a well-known professor that used to be at Hagerstown. Well, it was junior college when I went in the archives and olden days, but that was very, very agnostic. People probably even know who I'm talking about. But I had his class, and I'm telling you, he just did everything to destroy faith. And I think he really did do that with some people. But he was just so intelligent. He just didn't think that he needed God. And there are people like that. Why do we need God? You know, we have all these intelligent people who can do all these wonderful things. But, you know, God allows those things to happen. He gives that wisdom and intelligence. And not everybody comes from the good gene pool, you know, through your heredity and all the things that you inherit. Living in the United States, to me, is the biggest blessing. I mean, when you look at the news and see what's going on all over the world, that God saw fit to bless us and put us here, you know. Maybe if our people wouldn't have come, my ancestors came from Germany, and a lot of you came from Germany. A lot of you people came from, you know, everywhere, England, whatever. And we just, you know, we don't realize how our life would be different if they wouldn't have come. What if they'd have stayed there, you know, and we would have grown up in Germany or in Africa or Asia or what, you know, or in one of the countries where in the Middle East where they're having so many troubles and problems and where the Muslims have taken over a lot of it and are expecting everyone to be Muslim. You know, we are so blessed. We are so blessed by God. So my message to you and to myself is that no matter how small the thing is in your life that you need help with, we need to pray about it. And I remember hearing somebody say, well, I don't think people should pray about this or that or the other thing. But, you know, the Bible tells us to be in prayer about all things. And it can be a small thing. And, you know, it might be a small thing to us, but it could have some kind of ramification down through the years. There are things that happened to me when I was young and going through, I was a young Christian, and I remember going through a lot of things and thinking about how I was going to live my life. And I had things in my mind all planned out, that things were going to be so different, that God saw a different need, a different way. I thought I was going to be a missionary. I was going to go to New York City, and I was going to work on the streets and minister to people. I had the ticket in my hand to go. I was going on the bus. I was a low-budget missionary. I was there, and I remember getting a call, and this guy says to me, are you Linda Menser? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, I think they want to talk to you. And here was my mother. And she said that this person who I was going to meet in New York to work, they had this big, oh, you know, in New York they'll have these communities that live together in houses. They'll get together, and then they go out and work on the streets and minister, and then they set up a church and all this. She said, they told you not to come. That this man would tell me later why. And I said, well, okay. And I thought how close I was to getting on that bus. And I asked the man, I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, but I don't have to go. And he did give me my money back. I didn't think they'd refund the money for my ticket, but he did. And I went home, and I didn't find out for a couple of weeks what had happened. And this was a friend of mine, and he said he knew that when I was coming there, he said, I didn't belong in New York City. He probably thought, oh, this little country bumpkin, she's not going to know anything, you know. So anyway, I ended up not. But then the way my life turned out and how things happened when we had a little ministry called the Lighthouse, and how God used that to bring Charlie into my life, you know, and his family, and brought me to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. I'd have never been here because I went to a Pentecostal church, and I would never, my dad used to call Brethren churches and Methodist churches, he said they were nominal Christians, name only. That's the way he felt, because they were not experiencing the, you know, the Holy Spirit in the way that the charismatic, you know, people did. So I'm thinking, oh gosh, I can't go to a Brethren church. This is just terrible, you know. And I've been here for 36 years, so. But anyway, but God has a plan for us. He had a plan for Solomon. I think it's beautiful that God could see in him that he would be the one to build that temple, that he was worthy to do that. And David, as revered, and you all know, I just, you know, the character David, and I'm sure you do too, because he's so human. He had all the flaws that we have, maybe a few that we don't have. He's done a lot, he did a lot of things. But you know, he always had a heart after God. And even with his heart after God, he was not worthy to build that temple. You know, because he blessed David with victories. He blessed him in his being the king, in his reign, I guess is the word I want. He blessed him in so many ways and made him a great king. And people feared him everywhere. But when he needed the temple built, a place for the Ark of the Covenant, he needed someone who had not spilt blood. So God, you know, God's not sitting up there saying, well, let me see, I'll just do this, I'll just do that. He has a reason for everything he does. He has a reason for us opening that little coffee house in Williamsport, about me not getting on the bus. If I'd have gotten on the bus, who knows what would have happened? I may have never known you guys. I may have gotten killed in New York because I'm so stupid. I would have gotten off the bus and gone like this, like everybody does when they go to the hot, you know, and see the skyscrapers, because they always say you can tell the tourists, they used to say this, they probably don't say it anymore, but when they would come into the city, they all looked up because they weren't used to all those tall buildings. And I'd be right out there sitting up, you know? So anyway, God does have a plan for us. And some people have to go through some rough times. And God uses those times to draw you to him. And he wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to listen to his voice. And he promised he would listen to us. And when he's up there, again, he's not just walking around, you know, being God, but he hears our prayers. You know, and Jesus is sitting there. When we sing that song, Glory to the Lamb, I get chill bumps because I think there's Jesus sitting up there intercessing for us. Saying, there's Kathy. She's having a rough week, God. We're going to help her out. Or there's Jean. Jean has a cold. She needs a blessing. And we're hoping that he's intercessing for Paul today. So Paul's down for the count. He needs to get up and be able to speak and do and go and do the things that he needs to do. But we need to trust God. And you know, you think, well, that's an easy thing to do, but is it? You know, is it really a good, I mean, an easy thing to do? Because we all doubt. I'd like to tell you that I don't have any doubts about things. When I start to do something and you pray about it and you think, oh, am I really supposed to do this? You know? And then you find out what it was, the very thing that you should have done, right? Alyssa smiled, right? Sometimes you find out, but we question ourselves and we question God. And just, we need to place ourselves in his hands. And honestly, he does love you. He loves me. And he wants us to exude the wisdom of God. Now, if we go around acting like everybody else and not trusting God, then people have nothing to follow. They have nothing to look at. But when you say to somebody, well, I'll pray for you, 99% of the time, they'll say, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've never really had, Charlie had one person who did not want prayer one time. He went and visited him. I've never had anybody tell me that they didn't want me to pray. And that's kind of sad that somebody wouldn't even let you pray for them, you know. But even if somebody doesn't believe in prayer wholeheartedly, hey, what can it hurt, right? If somebody's going to say a prayer for you and you're having a problem, it certainly can't hurt you to let somebody pray. But when we trust God wholeheartedly and really trust Him, when you're in the pit, when you're down and you're, you know, like I say, when you're down for the count and you don't see any way out, God will show you a way out. But we have to trust in Him. We can't just muddle along through life and not honor Him. He wants us to honor Him. He wants us to serve Him, because He sent His own Son, Jesus, to die for us because He loved us that much. And He knows that we're not really that bright sometimes. Sometimes we make some dumb decisions. Sometimes we do some things and we think, oh my goodness. You hear people saying, what was I thinking? And sometimes we go there. But it might sound tedious or it might sound silly, but even the little things in your life when you don't know what to do, you know, it can be a simple decision. Be willing to trust God. Because it's like, if we trust Him in small things, then we'll be able to trust Him when the big things come. And He will be there. And if He can see that we will trust Him in the small things, He'll be there when the big things come. We've had people in our church that have been healed of cancer. We've had people who have been healed of other things. We've heard stories of people. And then people say, well, He doesn't heal. But He does heal. And He might use a doctor to heal. He might use other methods to heal. But He can still supernaturally heal. And we have to have that faith to trust Him and to seek His wisdom for our life. So I think, you know, wisdom goes along with a lot of things in our life. And all these things here, you know, trusting in the Lord with all your heart and that He will direct our paths. And to have our paths directed by the Lord, what is a better thing in our life? What is better than to have Him leading us through life? And I used to love this little old radio station, well, not station, but a little program. It was from the King's College up in the Adirondack Mountains. And the president up there was, what was his name? Oh, Bob Cook. And he would, every day, he'd have a little thing on CRH, you know, a little devotional thing. And at the end of his little program, every day he would say, walk with the King today and be a blessing. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to seek, because it says here about the kindness, that when you have wisdom, you have kindness toward other people. And I like it. It says, the length of days is in her right hand, and her way, and the left is riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And haven't you been around people who have been so wonderful to be around? You just enjoy being there. You just enjoy being in their presence. And then there are some people you think, oh, do I have to be with them? Do I, you know, they're coming to our house tonight. Oh, I hope they don't stay very long. Maybe if we say we're going to bed. And I've got to tell you a funny story. I won't tell you who, but this is so funny. How we are with people. It's hard not to tell who. But anyway, this person that I was talking to said, oh my goodness, there's somebody pulling in our driveway. Oh, maybe they're going downstairs because they have people live in the basement. They have an apartment. Well, this person did get out and walk down. And her husband said, turn off the lights so they don't come up here. And I'm thinking, now wait a minute. You know, the man had to see that the light was on when he pulled in the driveway. It was just so funny to me. And I'm thinking, and it wasn't that the man was, you know, she said, he's just a little old man and he's just not, he just gets on your nerves, she said. So, you know, there are people we don't want coming to our house. Or when those people selling steaks come down your street. Do you ever have them? And you see that vehicle out there, and you know very well what they're going to want to do. Sell you the steaks, or sell you fish, or chicken, or whatever. And it's just funny, because you don't want to deal with those people. But we need to be pleasant, and we need to be pleasant to be around, you know. Because if we're not, we're not a very good ambassador for Christ. You never heard him hiding from anyone. Or the only thing he did get in that boat that day. Remember, he said, let's go out on the water. He wanted to get away from the people because he was tired. But he never really turned anybody away. He loved everyone. So it's hard to have that love that God has. But what we need to do, even though we know we're not capable of all the wonderful things that God can do, we can seek his wisdom for our life. And the wisest decision any of us would ever make is the decision we made to follow Christ and to come to God through him. Because without Jesus, it's nothing. When you lay down and die, some people think that's it. But we know that's not it. We know that Jesus is waiting up there for us. And we know that God has prepared a place. The Bible tells you. If you believe the Bible, you know he's prepared a place for us. And we all have loved ones who've gone on, and we know they're with God. And we want to go there. And we want to be there with them. So when we die, it's not going to matter whether you have $1 million in your bank account. It's not going to matter whether you have diamonds and riches and all the wonderful things of this earth. It's not going to matter. You know, you've all heard, you know, you can't take it with you. Now, some people have tried. I heard stories about, I think Paul told a story about some guy who, at his funeral, they were taking a U-Haul. Well, guess what? They might have taken that U-Haul down to that cemetery, but it wasn't going with it. So you can't take it with you. So we need to have our hearts right with God. And within ourselves, you know, it's really hard. There are a lot of hard decisions in our lives. And, you know, you think the wisdom that Solomon prayed for, and the story about the two mothers who had the babies at the same time. I was going to tell the kids, and I wasn't sure they'd understand if I talked about when the woman said about cutting the baby in two. I thought that would upset them, so I didn't tell them that. But, you know, there he was, and they're arguing over that baby. And they both claimed the live baby. You know, they wanted the one that was alive, because one had laid over and had smothered the baby. So anyway, Solomon, of course, he didn't know, how was he going to decide? He didn't know. They didn't have facilities to do footprints and all that crazy stuff, and DNA. They didn't have all that. So he says, well, we'll just cut the baby in two. And we'll give half to the one mother and half to the other. And the one said, yes, let's do that. That's fair. Well, the other, who was the real mother, said, oh, no, no, no. Let her have that baby. Because she loved that baby. She'd rather give the baby up than for him to kill that baby. But he wouldn't have killed the baby. He wouldn't have killed that baby for anything. But he knew that would bring out the truth. And sometimes it's hard to get to the truth with people. But he knew through his wisdom. You know, I don't know if I'd have thought about something like that. Because I guess I'd be afraid, like the one did go for it. She said, oh yeah, and then we'll be even. Yeah, right. So it's something when we think about the wisdom of God and how he can bless us. Now, we might not have to make decisions like that. Somebody might have to decide on life support for someone someday or something like that. There are things in our lives that we may face that might not be a very easy decision to make, and God will help us with that. So, like I say, the best decision, the best part of wisdom is getting to know Jesus and to give your heart to him and to live trusting him, to put him first, to give him the first fruits of our labor. And I can guarantee you he will bless you. He will bless you. Because the Bible says he will. And I know of many, many people have been totally blessed because they are willing to give their 10%. And we need to give of ourselves as well as our wealth. We need to give to others. And God will use us, and he will bless us. And he will draw others unto him through us if we live to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the word. I thank you for the wisdom that you gave to Solomon, that he was able to do mighty things in your name. And I pray that us, in our little lives, that as we go through life, that you would help us as we have decisions to make that maybe only affect us or maybe only affect our families. But I just pray that you would give us the wisdom of God. I pray that we would pray for wisdom, that we would seek your face, and that we would accept what you tell us and trust and do your will, Lord, in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for our little church here at Long Meadow. I thank you for each one who's here today. And I pray that if there is someone who does not know you in their heart, has never given their heart to you, I just pray, Lord, that you'd speak to them, because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We know that we want to be here tomorrow, but many, many things happen to people that are unexpected. And we just pray that, Lord, you would help us to all be ready, and that we would all be in your family, Lord, and ready to meet you when we leave this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Charlie, I'm going to come up and we'll sing our final hymn, page 79. Please stand.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our time together in your name today. Just pray a very special blessing on each one here as we go out. Pray your protection and your safety upon each one. Pray that you would help us all to seek your wisdom for our lives, Lord, in our daily goings in and coming out, Lord, that we would be a blessing to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.